anything on the spot, we will. So next week we, so on tomorrow, so when you wake up in the morning and you have breakfast, you could pack your bags and then bring all your bags on the bus here to Perimeter Institute. And then when you get here, we'll have a room on the ground floor, a secure room, we'll put them in there. So just so you don't have to go back to Rev and then back here or back to Rev at all. And then the buses will be departing from here. So everyone, does anyone not know what time they're leaving and which bus they should be on? So if you don't, then to Diane, I understand, Diana, you have a schedule. Okay, so if you, yes?
If we need to be on the bus at 8:40, we all have to turn our keys in and get checked off, if that needs to start pretty early.
So you're leaving 8:40 a.m.?
No,
great.
Everybody get on the bus, yes.
Oh, right, yes. We'll figure it out. And tonight, everyone knows what the situation is tonight. So at 6 o'clock, we'll be having dinner in the bistro there. Then we have a short physics-themed documentary. It's actually Nuclear Scout Boy, which is good. Which is great, yeah. I won't say anything more about that, but it's...
Don't show it to your kids.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it a publicly released movie?
Yes, it is. It is. Actually, the documentary was shown in English one, it was shown in England, and I actually just, you can order it, there's a company in England. They're called Eagle and Eagle. Eagle and Eagle, yes.
You'll see it on the video, it has the website.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That goes about half an hour. And then, so most of you, almost all of you are not from Waterloo, exception of Dave and myself, so we're letting you loose on the town. And happy to coincide with our jazz festival. And I understand Dave is giving you a list of the map, a list of recommended places to go and so forth. So enjoy the sights of Waterloo. So I think that's all. So what I'd like you now to do is use the newfound understanding of space-time diagrams we have to understand something, a really common problem that you get in textbooks. So this is one of Ontario's finest textbooks, Nelson, Physics 12. And if you go to, as I'm sure you've memorized it all, you go to page 567, you see an example. And that is, so first of all, there's a train at rest. Actually, do I have my... I do. Okay, maybe the...
Use the big one if you want. The big one's also
good. Okay, so great. Perfect. So a train at rest, and at the front and back ends are two lights, L1 and L2. So in the rest frame, they turn on. Obviously, they like, and there's someone in bright the middle of the train, some observer O, I think it's O, yeah, O, O-T maybe. So the light goes there and goes there, and then obviously the person in the train is halfway between the two lights, so the light has to travel the same distance, so they see the light coming at the same time. But if the train is actually moving at some speed, then what happens, the person in there, obviously they're moving towards, you imagine kind of this pulse or ripple of light coming out from both lights, obviously they're moving towards this light, so and away from this light, so they'll actually see the light from first pulse train get to them from the pulse here sooner than what they will in the next case, in the previous case, and they can actually work back to figure out when the light actually was emitted or when the light bulbs are turned on, just from knowing what time they received the different lights, how far away they were. They actually have to figure back, and because there's a difference between when, there are two things, when they see the light, but when they know or they infer the light bulbs were turned on and the light was sent. And in this case, the two things happen to coincide. They actually see the light from here, L2, first, before they see the light from there, and if they actually kind of track back and figure out from the configuration which one was turned on first, they actually do think that it was L2 rather than L1. And so this is an example of the relativity of simultaneity. What occurs, actually I should say, from the lights are set up, so from this reference frame, the person just here on the platform, they turn on exactly the same time. So maybe they flick a switch, electricity goes out there, they're the same distances. So here we have the two events of the light switching on simultaneous in the platform's frame are actually not simultaneous. There's this light goes on first, then that light in the frame reference from the platform. So that's, again, a common example you have in the textbook. How can we actually understand that in space-time trigrams? So okay, so just flick over and please go and sleep. So maybe if I so if we have the frame reference platform, so at one time actually, I'm not really going to. I'll just do it on the blackboard. I don't really have much. Okay, good idea. So, okay, so actually, I need some help with this. So, so you're going to help me with this. So, this is the platform frame of reference. So, the X axis, the CT axis. So, let's look at two events. So, let's have. Okay, so this, we have a platform here, we have two events, so light one getting turned on, and light two getting turned on. And we know that in the reference frame of the platform, they happen at the same time. Let's say they happen at a fixed up time, so let's say they happen at 5 seconds. Actually, it would be good if everyone had their whiteboards. Sorry. So what I'd like you to do is actually, if you could actually draw on those events A and B on your space-time diagrams and say. So let's say event A happens at 1 meter at the position x equals 1 meter, and event the light second light getting turned on B happens at the position x equals 10 meters. So 5 seconds, 10 meters. Yep, at the position x equals 1 meter, x equals 10 meters.
Seconds apart.
They both, at the time they're turned on, it's 5 seconds at the same time. Both get turned on at the same time.
Did you actually hear it?
No, I thought right.
Are you scared of flying things?
Okay.
5 seconds, but
they're on for it. Can everyone hold up their whiteboards? So great, great. Okay, fantastic, excellent. Okay, AB. So we know that the events are simultaneous in the platform frame, and we can verify that because we know that this is what defines, say, time one here. And so you just draw a horizontal line parallel to x-axis. So all of these events occur at time one. They're in line with the one mark on the ct-axis. And so whatever the time is there, 5 seconds. Okay. So we can see that they're simultaneous. Now, what I'd like you to do is to draw in just very roughly the train axis. And so the axes of the train, I guess, maybe we assume the train is traveling, so it's a very fast train.
3 bits.
3 bits. So it's a theoretical physics institute, so we're allowed to do things like this. But the principle is the same. You get the idea. So to draw on the axes. And then, I think. So what I'd like you to do is to draw those axes and also draw one line. It can be any line, but one line that in the frame of reference of the train is a line where all points along that line happen at the same time. So that's a line of constant time for the train. So all points on that line correspond to the same time. That the observer on the train would measure all the events on that line happening at the same time. So let's make it a concrete time, the time t equals zero in the train reference frame. So what are all the points on the lines? So this is the line here where the person on the platform would say yes, all these distances and all these marks, they all happen at the same time, time zero. But the person on the train will have a slightly different perspective, they have a different reference frame. What will they see, all points happening at the same time, time zero is being? Does that make my...
Yes.
X prime axis, yeah. No. Okay, if you could hold those up now, is that? Yep, exactly. Exactly correct. So, well. So X dash, the observer on the train, so they're moving very, very quickly. So now remember they have this kind of weird, strange, different grid system. And if we actually write their grid system on, this is, instead of having a grid like that, remember if we go to diagrams, I add grids, I'll do my best attempt at drawing one. It kind of looks like that. Okay, so this is kind of the distorted grid, if you like, for the train reference frame. But we don't have to finish here. We're going to keep on going down. This is sort of negative distance, if you like. And we can keep on going down here with this. Okay. And so I was wondering if you could you tell me, looking at that grid, whether or not A and B happen at the same time? That is, both of them are on one single line of constant time in the train reference frame, or whether one happens and then at a later time in the train reference frame, another of them happens. Okay, so you say. So I guess I should draw some. So should we draw? So this is actually maybe on those lines here. If you could do this, you could draw the t dash equals zero line, or ct dash equals zero, ct dash equals one, ct dash equals two. Does that make sense for the girls? That's like basically what we're doing at. Yeah. Yeah, okay. But you can actually walk, you make, I guess if you're standing down, yeah, that's it. Yeah. 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 So yeah, it'll work if you have to extend those down below. Yeah, it will still work. What we should have done is CT-0, and so the next line up is that to be the reverse problem, CT-1, CT-2, 3, 4, etc. So these are really the lines, even though they're diagonal, these are lines that are marking out the time lines in the grid for the train's axis, for the dashed axis. And so to figure out when something happens, B was between somewhere between the 1 and the 2 line. So it happens, well, at least in my graph anyway, it happens, you know, around about 1.5 seconds. So that's when that occurs. But to find out when A happens, I have to go over the 2 grid and just before the 3 grid line. And so it's very, very close to 3. Now, some of you may have things quite different. Some of you may even have B being actually below this. And if you have B below this, then that's 0 time. So anything below 0 time has to be negative time, which is okay. But because you can just keep extending the lines here, and there's nothing wrong with negative time, just negative time for now, which we call this time 0 is just this morning. So what that shows you there, essentially the point is that this shows you that why does the observer B, or why does the train observer see B happen, then A happen? And that's because, well, one way, that's because this is below, this is corresponds to an earlier time in his or her reference frame, in the train's reference frame. So, there's actually one kind of subtle point. That's kind of what's that. But there's actually one subtle point you have to be careful of, and that's there's actually a difference between when the lights are actually turned on and when you see them. Because obviously there are two events, the lights getting turned on happen at some particular time, and then you actually see them at a later time. And what could happen, you can actually get situations where you might see one light before another one, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that light was actually turned on before the other one. So really, in special relativity, really the stuff, all the time dilation and the length contraction, everything is not what you would actually necessarily what you would actually see, but they're referring to actually when the events really did happen. And so that's what. And so it turns out in this case it actually coincides that the person in the train actually sees the light from the train, sees the light from the train or from the end closest to them, but actually figured out that it actually did occur before them. So actually, yeah, so that's actually probably, okay, so these are really in advance for the lights being switched on. Here, so the light's being switched on, and they happen simultaneously in, yeah, that's right, platform frame, but they happen differently in the frame of the person in the train.
Okay. Is it convention to name vertical axis versus horizontal axis in these type of graphs as well? Normally we get
all
our graph names by saying y versus x.
Right, yeah.
Or vertical versus horizontal.
Yeah.
Convention for these as well?
No, because that's not sort of vertical. So normally it's just the C called the dashed axis is what people call it. So the T dashed axis or the CT dashed axis. So you mean, do you say people talk about this is a vertical? What labels are they people conventionally use?
I'm talking about the title in your graph.
Titling.
The title on your graph.
Space-time diagram.
Which goes against that because actually space is on the horizontal.
So it's horizontal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So one interesting thing is these are the A and B are the events of the lights actually being switched on, but if we want to figure out how we actually see them, which is a different thing. What we would need to imagine is, so this is probably going to get a bit messy, so I'll for another color, but the person on the platform, they're actually halfway between here and here. So they're, so I guess that's 9 meters, so that's 5.5 meters there. And this is the platform's reference frame. They're staying still with respect to the platform. So how do they evolve in time? They actually just go straight line? Okay, you told me it's a straight line, so up in a straight line like that. And so now I want to draw, so these are the lights being turned on, so the light moves away from them. So how should I draw the light lines of light? What angle should I draw them at?
45.
Okay, and so we'll go in both directions. So I'll draw lights going and so that's right in the middle there. So the person, this is the person in the middle of the platform, like halfway between the lights. Bam, basically two events happening at the same time. That's not me.
You see, he's having sex.
Okay. So just, the events happen. They see them at the same time, but and again, this will be a bit messy. But what we'd actually need to do to figure out when the person in the train sees the two events happening is we actually need to draw the train. Actually, no, they're just the middle of the train. So let me see. So it might happen that, let's say, the middle of the train coincides with the person on the platform, so that from the platform's reference frame, that what happens when the two lights are switched on, the train is actually just between them. And so in this case, the middle of the train would be here. And so the middle of the train is moving at a certain velocity, 3/5 c. So if I want to draw the word line for the middle of the train, that's just the same as a word line for someone moving at 3/5 c. So should I draw that as a straight line as well?
No.
So I should draw it as a line at an angle. So I should draw it perpendicular to... Or parallel to this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so... going up something like that, so we'll just extend this line. And so when the lines of light cross that line, that is when the person on the train sees them. And if we sort of look where, see these lines cross, it's there, and then the light from there happens at that point there. And so what happens is we have, obviously this corresponds to a lower time here, so the person sees the light from B first, then at this later time up here, they see the light from A. So just you really actually want to distinguish between the two events. These are the light, actually the switch is being turned on. We don't see the light because light takes some finite amount of time to get from here to there, and we actually see them, these events for the person on the train, and that event for the person on the platform. And generally everything that you have in... Did you... Question?
Yes.
Yep.
Lights always travel 45 degrees to the frame, to the reference frame, right?
Yep.
Not,
yes.
Not every frame?
No, I mean, it won't travel at... I mean, it won't travel at 45 degrees.
Why don't we pick one frame over another frame to make it 45 degrees?
Sorry?
Why don't we pick one frame over another?
Well, we're not actually picking one frame. We actually picked one frame already. Just this, we're describing... We're actually preferring this frame because we're describing this by sort of the axes at right angle. And we've already sort of set a preferred frame by making this, every other axis has, or every other reference frame has axes at different angles. We have to pick out one reference frame, and in that reference frame, it travels as a 45 degree line. We could have, but we could have switched things over. We didn't fundamentally have to choose that reference frame. We could have chosen another reference frame. And that reference frame it would have been. So it's really a function of the choice that we've made, but there's nothing special about it. Okay, so we might, so that's what we have there. So so really when we're talking about the relative simultaneity is actually not for the observing. It's actually for when the events happen. And you really do, so it's not just the case that different people see the things happening at different times. It's not. It's more fundamental than that. I know some students think that, well, it's just a case of perception, but actually according to Einstein, it's not perception. The events really do happen simultaneously in the platform, different times, according to the train zoom. Okay. So... Okay, so what I'll do now, so one last thing before we finish. So I'm having a little trouble getting on my computer. So what I'll do now, we've just got one more thing to finish, and that's the twin paradox. And so what I'll do is now I'll introduce the twin paradox, and then we'll all have 8 hours of perfect sleep. And and then I'll actually go through the twin paradox of the space-time diagram tomorrow morning. And is anyone concerned about the skateboard and the hole? Okay, I'll go through the skateboard and the hole tomorrow. That's actually a reasonably complex one. It actually has two dimensions, both across and down. But that's a well-known paradox. Another level up, and I'll go through that tomorrow, because that's quite interesting. So, okay, the twin paradox. So actually, how many of you already know the twin paradox?
In our way.
So so I'll explain my way, and you tell me whether that's the same way. So I'm just going to explain the paradox, basically. And then you can actually see graphically tomorrow, first thing tomorrow morning, how special relative the result is. So, so we have two. So we have Earth here, and then. We have Earth, and then we have some star, Alpha Proxima, or whatever it is, and we have two twins. And let's just call their twins Roberta and Dave, for argument's sake. Okay, so... let's say Roberta is actually very adventurous, and she decides to go on a spaceship journey at a very high speed. Again, let's make it 3-bit C. So she gets to the spaceship. So she gets in a spaceship and she travels at the speed 3-bit C to.
I think you saw the aliens.
Towards the star, and gets near the star, and actually does a U-turn, so turns around, so very quickly slows down, decelerates, comes to a stop, changes direction, and accelerates very quickly back up to 3-5 C, and then after that, apart from that deceleration and re-acceleration, she travels the entire journey back, same speed, just different velocities in a different direction. Yes?
Do you need to be concerned at all about accelerations in special relativity?
Do you
accelerate and decelerate at the end there? Do you need to take care of that?
Do you
need to adjust for that at all in special relativity?
You can kind of fit it in. Or you can go to general relativity. So most people would say, a lot of textbooks say that, yeah, you can actually fit it in. And the way they fit it in is by actually a person sort of, you can think of people as jumping from one inertial frame to another one. And because here, they're going from 3-5 C, obviously they have to go down from 3-5 C to zero, and you can think of progressing there by jumping to different inertial frames, and then back up to 3-5 C in the other direction by jumping to different inertial reference frames. And so there are ways of accommodating it. So that's the journey, planet and back. Dave, less adventurous, stays at home, stays on Earth. And so the question is, we know about time dilation. And so the point of view of Dave, Roberta is traveling very, very quickly. So he will see her clock is running slowly. So imagine she has a clock on the spaceship. It's ticking away. He actually sees it. And more than that, he actually sees it, but he actually perceives it to be running and infers that it's running more slowly. But it's not just that clocks run slowly. You know, that he actually sees and perceives that every physical, biological process that marks time about her is running slowly. But if he's looking at her heart beating or somehow has her bed wired up to a heart monitor, he actually sees that as ticking more slowly. He sees, for example, over the longer term, all visible signs of aging, her hair getting old less slowly, her wrinkles and so forth. So every part, every facet of aging actually does happen more slowly. Where Roberta's looking at Dave's, or HA is looking at Roberta's aging process. And so basically, that happens more slowly. There's the turnaround there. And then on the way back, basically, even though only the speed, only the relative speed matters to time dilation. So on the way back, there's actually time dilation will occur. Dave will see Roberta is actually aging more slowly, her clock ticking more slowly. So we have more slowly on the there, more slowly on the way back. So that he will see, say maybe, actually I'll have to get the numbers right, so it's maybe 20 years Let's actually make that easy. So if it should be 25 years for him. It should be only 20 years for Berta. I think that should be right. So we actually see 25 years have passed on him for Earth. He's been at a calendar every year marking off the days. 25 years have passed. But Roberta, because of the time dilation effect, only 20 years will have passed. So even though they're exactly the same age when they left, twins born on the very same day, then what happens is that he comes back and Roberta's 5 years younger than he is, from his perspective, his reference frame. So that's that reference frame. But we said, look, all reference frames are equal. There's no special inertial reference frame. There's democracy. We don't have to look at things from Dave's point of view. There's nothing absolutely special about that. So let's look at things from Roberta's perspective, Roberta's reference frame. In her reference frame, she's stationary. She's not moving. What happens in her reference frame, it's a bit strange, but she's just standing there in this rocket, and she turns on her boosters, but she doesn't move, she's just staying there. And the star happens to rush towards her at 3/5 of the speed of light. And the Earth happens to rush away from her at 3/5 of the speed of light. So the star comes towards her, moves away, and she basically, so what happens is Dave, with the Earth, is moving away at incredibly high velocity, 3/5 of the speed of light. So he moves away, and then turns around, decelerates, the entire Earth comes to a stop, reaccelerates, comes back, and then what happens is then they meet up. And so this is, it seems like it's symmetric. Just as Roberta, Dave could have felt, well, Roberta's moving away from me very quickly at 3/5 of the speed of light. So she experiences a time dilation. So from his point of, or from Roberta's point of view, okay, Dave is moving away from me at 3/5 of the speed of light. So, okay, any moving clock relative to me, I see it as running slowly. So Dave is moving away from me. So I should see his clock, everything about how he ages, how fast his heart beats, how quickly he gets gray hair, and so forth. Should be going more slowly, exactly the same rate, of 4/5 as before. And so for the whole trip out, it's exactly the same. Dave is younger, and then there's just this quick turnaround at the end, and then comes back, again at speed 3/5 of the speed of light. And so they seem at face value to be sort of mirror images of each other. And so if we figure out time dilation for Dave, it was exactly what it was for Roberta, factor of gamma 5/4. So from that argument, it seems, well, hang on, so 25 years, so if Dave's argument is like that, so from that reference frame, it might be something like 25 years to pass for Roberta, but less for Dave, so he actually should be younger when they return. From Roberta's perspective, it seems. But okay, here's the apparent paradox, as you know, that so from Dave's perspective, we have an old Dave, a young Roberta. So Roberta's younger than Dave. From Roberta's perspective, it just seems that we've calculated that she should be older, Dave should be younger. But when they get back, they can look at each other, they compare, they can actually see, you know, how many wrinkles they have, they can see how old they are. They, you know, they've counted how many years or how many days they've actually been on and how much time has passed. And it can't both be the fact that Dave is younger than Roberta, and Roberta is younger than Dave. That's a logical paradox. A can't be younger than B, and B younger than A. So there's going to be a fact of the matter. It's going to be a day of reckoning when they get back. And either they're going to be the same age as each other, or one is going to be younger than the other. And so, but it seems as if, you know, everything's exactly the same. Completely symmetric situation. So how do we get out of it? So that's the paradox. The problem. And the solution is, as a lot of you know, that they're actually, remember, the key is that special relativity really only applies, you can only really use these concepts such as time dilation and inertial reference frames that don't have an acceleration. So we ask the question, is Dave in an inertial frame? Is he actually accelerating or not? And no, he's not. He's just staying up there on Earth. He is not actually physically accelerating or not. But Roberta, she actually experiences some forces here with her deceleration and acceleration that she actually feels sort of as if she lurches forward when she's decelerating and then gets pushed back in her seat when she's accelerating back. And so she actually does accelerate. She has to slow down there and then speed up. So she has to actually undergo some acceleration. And when she does that, she's accelerated. So she's not in an inertial reference frame. So we cannot naively apply the laws of special relativity. She does not stay in one single inertial reference frame. And only if you do can you actually apply the laws of special relativity. So Dave is. So the argument we have from the bird's point of view of Dave and his Earth speeding away, slowing down, and speeding up and coming back, the speed of light, that is not valid. We're going outside the range of applicability of special relativity, one single inertial reference frame. Roberta has to switch frames, so that doesn't work. But turns out that Dave always stays in one single inertial reference frame for the whole trip. And so we can actually use the time dilation formula from his perspective. That's actually valid. So if we do that, we get the reasoning that we would have to forward. Roberta actually ages more slowly going out there. There's a quick turnaround, and then she actually ages more slowly on the way back. So all along the way, she's aging more slowly, and so she will come back, and that is the answer, the standard textbook answer, that Dave is 25 years plus his age that when he started, and Roberta's 20 years. So Roberta actually will be younger than Dave. So, okay. So that's the standard explanation, a lot of you will know. So what we'll do, tomorrow is, so actually unfortunately I can't get the slides working, but we'll actually do, we'll do it tomorrow. So we'll actually show, basically plot, so if you, I'll show you what we will do, and so what you can actually do is basically plot plot actually on a space-time diagram, the world line for Roberta and the world line for Dave, how they actually move. And then you can actually see, if you actually look at the space-time interval, it turns out there's actually less for Roberta than it is for Dave. And so less time corresponds to less age. And that's the solution to it. You can actually see that graphically on basically from the space-time diagram, so you get this graphical solution. And that's what we'll do tomorrow, but unfortunately I don't have, can't get the slides up. So that would be the combination, and then there's actually probably, I don't know if we get much on general relativity, but I had something on the global positioning system and relativity, actually, which I can hand out to everyone now. So with that, we are officially at the end of the day. So I don't have